genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turning now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, everybody. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're on every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ AM 1400. We're positive talk radio for Ventura County. We're also streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura. If all of this sounds like National Public Radio, you're getting the idea. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is NPR done right. If you want to join the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008, 639-0008. Or if you're outside of the county, that's area code 805-639-0008. Keep that number handy because we have two sandwich giveaways in each this hour for one sandwich or one free salad from Urbane Cafe, their new location down in Oxnard, the intersection of Gonzales and Rose Avenue as well. And one other piece of housekeeping before we get into today's interview is Mr. Robert Arenas. If you were out there, you were a winner earlier this week, and unfortunately we must have gotten your wrong address. So please call us 639-0008, straighten out the address, and we'll get this coupon out to you right away. Every show on Brainstorming with the Billy the Brain has a theme, and today's theme is creativity. Both of my guests are creative, each in his or her own field. My first guest is a creative thinker. She says this is the time in our economic climate when ideas need to be born. Yet, there's a disturbing piece of information she's discovered. Many people in our organizations today don't believe that they're creative and they don't know how to be so. That's where she comes in to help. She proposes the real economic stimulus plan for this country is the power of ideas. Joanne Corley founded Convergence Consulting Group in 1998. It's a human resources organizational development firm which provides services to a variety of industries. She utilizes her 20 years of business experience and expertise to consult in creativity and innovative thinking. Joanne attended Concordia College in Moorhead, Minnesota, where she played volleyball and also attended Eastern Illinois University. Prior to launching her consulting career, she spent several years as an international benefits manager for a nonprofit, and then she moved to become a senior recruiter for Richard Michael Group. That's a boutique Chicago recruiting firm. Welcome to the show, Joanne. How are you doing today?
Great, and thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for being our guest. It's always a pleasure to have you here. I want to jump into it because creativity is one of my absolute favorite things. Richard Florida, who's been a guest on our show, he writes in The Rise of the Creative Class, ideas are the new commodity here in the 21st century. You call change the next new skill. What do you mean by that?
Well, it's interesting because change is directly linked to creativity. The ability to be able to be flexible and adaptable, and part of being flexible and adaptable is being able to see and create new scenarios, new situations, and really new possibilities. And Richard Florida is one of my favorite guys, and I love that quote, and I use that in all my keynotes.
All right. Well, let's face it. Change is something we all resist.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a natural human phenomenon. I'm probably one of the worst at it. So what are some of the benefits of change?
Well, some of the benefits of change is the ability to just feel more inspired in your life. You know, we kind of get into ruts. Routines are good, but ruts and routines can turn into a grave, so to speak. So it's invigorating, it's inspiring, and change actually generates hope. And hope really fuels the human spirit. And it also creates opportunities to create new products and services, ways of using money to bolster a local community. So those are all really benefits of change, just energy, life, change fuels love even, love of a lot of different things.
All right. Well, that's interesting. Now, we kind of come back to this resistance of change because I'm very resistant to change. Are there times when change can actually be fun or beneficial? And if so, how?
Yeah, you know, it can be. But here's the key to that. Usually people resist change out of one major, very influential emotion, and that's fear. And fear, I believe, is one of the greatest enemies of human potential. And so now we can be experiencing fear either in a, on a conscious level, but it's usually primarily on an unconscious level, and we kind of really don't even know it's driving us. So we're resisting and resisting, and then we don't realize it's really fear that's driving us. But, you know, honestly, this pulls the creativity piece back into it, because creativity is generating the ability to see. And seeing, the ability to see, actually helps people be willing to change. Because unconsciously, we could be, you know, we think in pictures and movies. And we could be running a movie or seeing a picture of something negative, and that's causing us to resist the change. So when we are creative, we're generating new movies, new pictures of what's possible, what could be exciting. And literally the science of seeing differently helps people unlock their resistance to change.
All right. We're talking to Joanne Corley, everybody. She's also the author of a new book that is just out. It's called The 1% Edge, Power Strategies to Increase Your Management Effectiveness. We're talking about change today. And Joanne, I'm still not sold. I hear what you're saying, and I know that change can help us, gives us the ability to see and the ability to change things. But still, it's that fear demon that's in there. So how do you overcome the fear to be able to begin to see some of the possibilities?
Well, I really think it goes back to that basic premise of pictures and movies. Let's say that you decided that you you recognized that you were fearful, let's say, around going after a new job, because that's really a relevant thing in our economy.
Okay, let's go with that.
Okay, let's go with that. So let's say that you are reading a job posting, and what's happening is your brain, as you're reading the job posting, is generating a movie. Now, it's usually unconscious. People usually aren't aware of it. But let's say this. You're reading the job description, and you're running a movie of yourself being able to do it. You know, you say, and you're thinking to yourself, oh, yeah, I can do that thing. Oh, yeah, I can do that thing. Oh, I don't know about that thing. Oh, yeah, I can do that thing. Now, all of those thoughts are generating a movie of what's possible, and yes, I can do it. A different person can read the exact same job description and be saying this, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if I can do that. Maybe I can do that. Well, I don't know. Well, all those thoughts are generating a picture of them not being able to do it, even perhaps failing at it. And then that's going to prevent them from actually taking the action to actually go apply for the job description. Now, here is the catch. Here's the catch. Just because someone thinks and runs a movie that they can't do the job doesn't mean they can't do the job. And that's the challenge, is to be able to really consciously create good, constructive, empowering movies that causes us to move forward. And really, it's all about what's going on in our brains. Here's my phrase, Bill. It's an inside job. It's an inside job. It's doing, you know, changing yourself on the inside that will generate the changes and the actions, behaviors that you want on the outside.
Well, we're talking to Joanne Corley, everybody. And Joanne, I'm reminded of that Henry Ford saying, and he said, if you think you can or if you think you can't, you're right. That's an inside
right.
job.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, how do we overcome it? How do we get inside of our own heads to start to change it so we can become more creative?
Okay. So here's a couple things that we can do. First of all, we can literally start writing out something, seeing something different. Some people might call it a vision statement. Some people have attributed that action to writing out goals. It's interesting. When you write out a goal, what's practically going on in your head? You're running a movie. You're running a movie. Writing a goal is like telling yourself and running a movie of, yes, I can do that. Yes, I think that's possible. And that's what goal setting is really all about, technically and literally running the movie in your head. So it's actually writing out. One of the things I do in my coaching practice is if people are having challenges with their particular situation in life, we call it writing a different story. So they actually literally write out what's going on in their life, and then we do what we call reframing. We write out differently how we want to see it differently. That very act of writing out a different scenario about the same scenario, writing out a different scenario about the same scenario, changes literally the way we see it. Bill, it even changes the chemistry in our brain, because in order to be able to make those positive changes, you got to feel good. You got to have those endorphins and serotonin and adrenaline, versus even, you know, the negative chemical of cortisol, which is a stressor, constricts your capillaries in your brain and causes you not to act and causes you not to even feel good or even want to do anything. So something as practical as is really writing things out begins to make the shift in your thinking, in your movies, and even in your chemistry.
All right, well, let's talk about that shift in thinking and shift in the movies. And I love one of the stories that you tell. It's the Bill Bowerman story. Would you mind relating that for our listeners?
Yeah, that's actually one of my favorite stories. Bill Bowerman was sitting one day eating waffles with his wife and was sort of observing his waffles in a different kind of way that one morning. And he started to see the pattern of the waffles, and he was really paying attention to sort of how they were laid out. And in his mind, he thought, okay, and he was working with developing a shoe for athletes, and thought, you know what, maybe this waffle design could be better at absorption, better at protecting an athlete's feet, better at giving them more spring in their step, in terms of what sports they were involved in. And so he literally took the waffle iron and he basically took that design, and that actually became the premise for the first prototype design for the Nike shoe.
Wow. Amazing. We're talking to Joanne Corley, everybody. She's the CEO of Convergence Consulting Group. Joanne, we've got a break here for a commercial, but I want you to think about this while we're on commercial break. And this I found was a staggering statistic. It came out of Business Week. According to a new survey of 1,500 CEOs conducted by IBM's Institute for Business Values, CEOs identify creativity as the most important leadership competency for a successful enterprise in the future. Now, I find that interesting because there are so few creative CEOs that are out there. So when we come back, I'm going to ask you, if creativity is so important to CEOs and important to the life's blood of organizations, why don't we have more creative CEOs? Don't answer that now. Answer it when we come back after this short break.
And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ AM 1400, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is creativity. We're talking to Joanne Corley. She is the CEO and founder of Convergence Consulting Group, and she is an expert on the whole concept of creativity. Remember, ideas, creative ideas in particular, are the new commodity in the 21st century. Before we went away to break, I was quoting the IBM survey of 1,500 CEOs, where they said, the CEOs themselves said, creativity is the most important leadership competency for the 21st century. And I posed the question to you before we went to break, Joanne, if it's so important, why do we see so few creative CEOs?
Well, I think because up until now, it's not been seen as valuable. I think for two reasons. Number one, up until now, it's not been seen as a value. And in this regard, it's relegated to R&D. Let the R&D people take care of it. And so they've segmented out that skill into just a select group of people. That's the first thing. The second is there's a fundamental misunderstanding of creativity, because there is a fundamental belief that only certain people are creative. And so, you know, what's critical is if you don't believe you're creative, then you won't even create the energy to access your own creativity, to harness it, to leverage it for any particular outcomes or you're trying to address. And I think this is really the critical piece. As I travel across North America and I do creativity workshops, one of the first things I ask is, how many of you honestly believe that you're creative? And most of the people with the audiences that I've had across North America, only about an average of one quarter to one third of the people in any given room say or believe that they're honestly creative. Well, then therein lies a dilemma, because if we need companies, and really companies don't innovate, but people do, if we need from the bottom up every employee to be creative, but many employees, let's even say the majority of employees, which includes leaders, don't believe that they're creative, then they're not going to tap into or even care about nurturing their own, because they don't believe they have it in the first place.
Well, that's interesting, because not every role in an organization needs to be creative. I mean, how creative do you want your janitor to be, Joanne?
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting statement, because therein is a little bit of the misnomer about creativity. So we can break it down and say creativity at its heart is the ability to see something differently. Okay? Well, even a janitor can see how to do process improvement, or to see how to clean something different, or to say, hey, if we used a different kind of product, we might save time and money. So at any function, any point of function in an organization, there can be a thought process or an expectation of process improvement. How can we do this better? How can we see it better? How can we look at it differently? In fact, I just had a quote this morning for one of my blogs. How we see things makes all the difference in how we can solve things or how we can change things. We all have the ability to see differently, and that lays the foundation for change.
All right, let's come back to the IBM survey of the 1,500 CEOs. And it's interesting that you say only 25 to 33% of the people that you poll as you go around North America believe that they're creative. So I'm going to put you on the spot. I'm going to ask you for some examples of CEOs who are creative.
Well, I'm not to be like too obvious, but one for sure is Steve Jobs. And what makes him an interesting model is he has really decided to set himself apart in terms of how he developed Apple. He could have gone along the framework of modeling close to IBM in the similar PC industry, but he decided to really step out of the traditional technology of PC and then move into a different sort of technology that makes Apple very unique in their interface and how you work with the Apple product. And, of course, what that led to, as we all know, is really cultural changes in how we work with technology, particularly with the iPhone and now with the launch of the iPad.
All right. What are some other examples of CEOs who are creative, in your opinion?
I also think that we call them the Google guys. I think the Google guys are creative, and I love to use this example because sometimes people who think that technology-based leaders tend to also be pretty left brain. And the left brain is not really where the origin of ideas come from. It really is primarily in the right brain.
Mm-hmm.
So what's interesting about the tech guys is their ability to combine coding, let's say, with the ability to build a company and to meet societal needs through something as fundamental as how can I get information. How can I get it quickly? And by the way, that's a very important question to ask in creativity, is a question of how. And so how can I combine technology with the ability to meet societal needs, which has certainly launched Google into its own stratosphere, so to speak.
All right. Are there any other examples outside of the high-tech field?
Okay. I would say Ben Carson. Ben Carson is a surgeon at Johns Hopkins. And, you know, I really believe that in his case, he's a very interesting person in that he has found ways in his surgical endeavors to be able to create surgeries and also to be able to work with people in the sphere of medicine. And, a little bit of technology based there, but also in the sphere of medicine as well. So you'll be able to find in every arena there will be, some creativity involved.
All right. We're talking to Joanne Corley, everybody. She's the CEO of Convergence Consulting Group, which she started way back in 1998. We're talking, the subject today is creativity. That's also the theme for today's show. And Joanne, this is your life's blood. I mean, you train companies to be more creative. So how do you teach organizations to be systematically creative? And how can you set goals to help them to be creative?
Okay. Well, one of the things that I love to do is to break things down and to make them simple, and so that the creative process is very approachable. Because I think that's part of it is, you know, if you don't believe that you're creative, and then someone says, okay, you need to be creative, well, that just seems daunting, and, you know, like, oh my gosh, how can I do that? So I have in the spirit of creativity, have a very quirky and fun way of introducing the concept when I do a keynote or a workshop or seminar. And what I do is I use all of the fundamentals of childhood to introduce a creative concept. Because one of the critical things about creativity is that, and what people need to believe, is that everybody is creative. And one of the ways to know that for sure is to access your childhood. And so I ask people to access their childhood and to name some things they did in play as a kid. And so many people will name things like, I created Fords, out of boxes and blankets, or I'd made mud pies out of dirt and, you know, with rocks. We made those donuts. You know, anything they could get their hands on to assemble was part of the creative process, and they were very innovative and used their imagination as kids. So everybody is creative because every kid is creative in their own way. And so in the creative process, I just teach something very simple called left, right, right, left. And it is an ideation process that instructs the brain on how to operate. So the left is very simply means tell the left brain to shut up, be quiet, don't need you right now, because the left brain is the analytical judging part of the brain. It's the part of the brain that will snuff out an idea before it ever gets out of someone's mouth. And then the right, the first step in that right is to stimulate the right brain, and that is to do some fun things to get the brain going, and what you're trying to do is fundamentally activate the imagination. That's something as simple as reading children's books, going for a brisk five-minute walk. One of the favorite things I have folks do in my seminars is to draw with their eyes closed, and which is really fun to do. Draw a landscape with their eyes closed. And really with Crayolas is even better, because Crayola has that scent from when we were kids and sort of unlocks that unconscious part of our brain from when we were kids. And the next right is to saturate, and that is to saturate your brain with as much relevant information related to a particular area you're trying to target to innovate or process improve or to come up with great ideas. Saturate your brain with as much complementary or relevant information as possible, and that's usually 3 to 5 days of complete saturation. And then what your brain is forced to do very simply is to combine the old information in your brain with the new information in your brain. And it goes through a combining process, and I make the joke, okay, here's where you get to work and sleep, because your brain actually is working while you sleep, which is really the cool thing. And then the ideas just start popping out. But they pop out in the oddest places. And I call it the 3 B's of the alpha beta state, and it's bed, fast, and busy. And when you think about it, most of our coolest ideas come to us when we're, you know, sleeping and we wake up in the middle of the night, or when we're taking a nice, comfortable shower, or when we're, you know, driving or, you know, cutting grass or washing dishes, doing redundant exercise. Those when those cool ideas come out. And then the final one is the left, and that's when you can really access your left brain to look at all those ideas and start organizing them and testing in a low-risk environment. Okay, what's relevant? Test the idea. And the cool part is, when you test an idea, guess what? You get more ideas. And that's why it's called the ideation or creative process.
All right, we're talking to Joanne Corley, everybody. And I want to come back to your four-step process, the left, right, right, left. I like that. And the second right, which is where you saturate your brain with ideas. Give us some ideas how you go about saturating your brain with ideas.
Okay, so let's say you're saturating yourself with information. So it would be something like what actor and actresses do. They do something called immersion. It could be something as simple as, I say, taking a field trip. So let's say you're going to take an example. I'm going to decorate my house differently. So I'm going to go to Barnes & Noble, Borders, or a local bookstore, and I'm going to just go peruse a variety of magazines. And I'm not going to be very specific or picky. I'm just going to peruse any magazine that has to do with decorating, and I'm not going to even try to pick magazines I particularly like. The key is to pick things that you may not like just to generate different ideas. So just something as simple as reading through a bunch of magazines, and we talking not literally reading, you can literally read, but you can also scan, because scanning also puts information in the conscious and the unconscious mind and fills your brain with pictures, which your brain will be accessing and your unconscious will be accessing for creating these ideas. So saturation. So a whole field trip day at a local bookstore might be one example. You could also go online. Do one day of online exposure around a variety of topics related to, you can do a Google search, you can do an Amazon search. Amazon's a great database for a lot of different things related to books, song titles, all those kinds of things. So it's getting access to a variety of information for an extended period of time, and really just flooding your brain. So those are two practical examples.
Oh, those are great examples. We're talking to Joanne Corley, everybody. She's the CEO of Convergence Consulting Group. Now, Joanne, people listening to the sound of your voice feel they need to get more creative, want to get some ideas from you. Where would you direct them to go?
Access me specifically or just to get general information?
Access you specifically.
You can go directly to my website. It is joannecorley.com. It is my name, Joanne with no E, and I can be contacted directly through my website.
That's great. That's Joanne, J-O-A-N-N, Corley, C-O-R-L-E-Y.com. And you can get access to Joanne either by email or read some of the things that she's got posted up on her website. Joanne, I can't believe how quickly the time goes when we're being creative like this. Time does fly.
It does.
Thank you so much for being our guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
You bet. You're welcome.
Take care. Bye now.